Everybody, welcome to the Centre Circle podcast, and that's it for the Euros. We can all shut up about how England are terrible and moths on Ronaldo's face. Joining me is Gareth Townsend.
Good evening.
And David Nealon.
How's it going?
And this is episode 15, and because, you know, the Euros are done, we're going to spend all our time talking about Portugal, because Portugal are the first team in Euros history to win the Euros, only winning one game in 90 minutes. So is it deserved for them to win the trophy, do you think?
Yes. Because they defended really, really well throughout the entire tournament and got better and better and better as the tournament went on. So every match they played, they got better. And it just shows that you don't need to be the best attacking team in the world to win things. But actually, the most important thing is not conceding goals.
It's kind of negative, their whole play throughout the entire tournament. I don't think they really deserve it, to be honest. I mean, matches against Croatia and Poland, you know, putting 10 men behind the ball and last until the 120th minute, it's completely undeserved. That's just my opinion. I found a stat. Portugal have only led for 70 minutes during the entire Euros.
It's hard to say that it's not deserved, because at the end of the day they won by the rules, but
I would say the final match they did deserve it, and there was one reason for that, and I think it was the passion of the manager and Ronaldo, which is something that France didn't do. Not once throughout the entire match did I see Deschamps get out of his technical area.
See, that's the kind of manager he is.
And that was the ultimate difference. I mean, the words of encouragement from Ronaldo also helped. And it kind of egged them on into the extra time where they got the decisive goal.
The thing for me is a case of, if the draw hadn't been so ridiculous for them, like if they hadn't avoided big teams for so long, I think they would have went out at the same kind of stage as England. I think they really got lucky to avoid teams like Italy, Germany and France until the last three games, when there was belief about them.
Yeah, I can understand it from that point of view, but it's still no excuse. I mean, you're playing a team who are without Ronaldo after 25 minutes, he gets injured. You have pretty much an average 11. You have players like Griezmann, you have Pogba, you have those quality players, and yet you can't still break them down. But again, it was putting 10 men behind the ball and just sneaking in on the counter. They looked very deadly on the counter attack, I must say.
By the way, who got man of the match? Because for me it was Rui Patricio.
I think it was Patricio, but I think Moussa Sissoko may have got the France man of the match. He was absolutely stellar out there. All the dribbling.
My man of the match was Pepe.
Pepe?
Pepe had an absolute blinder in central midfield, in central defence.
I think the best defender on the day was Guerrero on that left-hand side. I thought he was excellent.
Honestly, it's hard to pick a defender, but the thing about Patricio is he made three or four key stops that he had no right to make.
No, he certainly played his best game in the Euros, no doubt about that.
And he can go back to Lisbon or wherever he does actually stay, thinking that, you know, I won us that cup. And I'd say it within his right to do so.
Sanchez had a bit of a quiet match. I didn't see much from Sanchez, but, you know, he's going to be an electrifying teenager. He's going to be a great wonder kid, but I just still think he needs to get to that next level.
Well, yeah, he is only 18, though.
Yeah, I know, but Ronaldo was also a teenager during the Euro 2004 final.
He wasn't that great in that final, if I remember right, though.
No,
I can't recall it that well either, but still, Sanchez had a bit of an off game, in fairness, but he's played a great Euros throughout.
Pardon me. Should Ronaldo go into management after retirement? Yes, he's going to. I don't think there's a doubt about it. He wants to be involved in football for the rest of his life.
I can certainly see him being the next Portugal manager after what's his face? Not the current guy, but his successor after that. I'd say Ronaldo will take over.
I might even say one manager beyond that. I think you'll want a lower league management job first to get, you know, used to it.
As much as I hated him as a person, I mean, you can't really criticise his leadership ability during yesterday's match. I mean, despite an awful, horrendous injury during the final, he still managed to get behind the team, lifting the team to the next level, and that was the decisive factor. What France couldn't do and what Portugal were able to do was find that little bit of passion and spark to get Eder onto the score sheet. A washed-up Swansea player. And it was a cracking goal to win at Euros.
It was a cracking goal. At the end, though, it just feels like the final disappointed me.
And the whole tournament was a disappointment. The standard of football in the whole tournament was pretty poor.
I would agree with that. But I mean, I think there was some caginess with the exclusion of Ronaldo after 25 minutes. I think the game got a little bit flat after that, and it needed some catalyst to bring it forward. Nobody really outshone, but I think Sissoko's dribbles throughout the entire game was superb, and I think he's trying to get himself onto the transfer window and trying to attract offers.
Newcastle want £35 million from him, apparently.
I would say they'll get lucky to get half of that. But he played an absolute blinder during the last two matches for France. Yeah. And well, I don't know how he didn't do that against Newcastle, but put him in a French jersey and he performed magic.
I think it's down to two things. He's got a passion for his nation and he wants to do well for his nation, and the other is the quality of player is fantastically different. He can, like, stretch his legs, be creative, and, you know, enjoys football more in a France shirt than he could at Newcastle that season.
Well, I mean, if you're playing with players like Colaccini, you're obviously going to look bad.
Like, did anybody really, like, look like they were enjoying their football at Newcastle that season, though?
I think Wijnaldum had a decent season. Mitrovic was questionable, but he definitely showed some passion.
Well, I don't think they're going to get that much for him. I think he's going to cause a massive riot if his offer isn't accepted, whatever it is.
Yeah. How much? I don't think there's much left in his contract either.
I think a year, 2 years.
I'd say around that, yeah.
But who was the player of the tournament?
I'm not really sure. I'll go by position. Buffon would be my best goalkeeper.
Buffon,
I thought 38, 39, he still has it.
I'd say Chiellini's in with a shout. Don't think he put a foot wrong all tournament for Italy. Centre-back.
Chiellini. I'm looking at the official Euro team of the tournament, and it's a bit questionable at that.
Go on.
You have Patricio in goal.
Back, I can see that.
A back four of Guerrero, Pepe, Boateng and Kimmich.
Boateng?
I think Boateng had a good tournament.
Kimmich at left back's a bit weird.
I don't think Boateng had a good enough tournament to justify that. Too many stupid mistakes.
Kimmich's at right back, Guerrero's a left back.
Oh yeah, well, Kimmich at right back's a weird one.
You have Kroos and Allen in the middle.
No, I'd put Ramsey there over Allen.
And
Ramsey is there along with Griezmann, Payet and Ronaldo to finish off the team.
Oh right.
Kroos didn't have much of a tournament, I'd say he was average.
I'm surprised Gareth Bale isn't there. I think he had a great tournament.
They would have to drop Ronaldo for him, and you know that's not going to happen, even though Ronaldo had a
I would go as far as
not have a terrible tournament.
I think Ronaldo had a terrible tournament.
No, Ronaldo's the reason they got out of the group, and Ronaldo's the reason they got to the final. Ronaldo against Hungary dragged them into third place, and then Ronaldo played really, really well against Wales to get them into the final. So I can see why he's there.
I think he had a good game against Hungary, but against Wales, I wouldn't say that he was fantastic against Wales.
He scored and got the assist. He was involved in both goals, heavily.
Yeah, two moments. Two moments of that game is the only time I thought he was decent.
I
would go as far as removing Kroos from that list.
Yeah,
replacing him with,
be there.
What my team would be Buffon. Umtiti, I think, should have been one of the centre backs. I thought he was I know he only played two matches, but in those two matches, he blew Rami out of the water. He was absolutely superb, getting stuck into every challenge. I think he's going to be brilliant for Barcelona. That's exactly the centre back that France need.
Hello.
I'm still here.
Yep.
Yeah, sorry, David just cut off halfway through a sentence there for me, so I thought I'd disconnected. But keeping with the kind of main man's feel that we've got going on here, who's man of the match for everyone this week? Gaz.
My man of the match is, I'm going to hope I pronounce this right, Andrija Zivkovic. Now, everyone's heard of him. He's just signed for Benfica in real life. But this is the furthest I've got down the line in FM16. And he's an absolute machine. He had a lot of injuries last season, but I'm playing him as an inside forward as an attacking right midfielder. And his stats are just outstanding. He's valued at 52 million, and he definitely earns his 325 grand a week contract. Last season, it wasn't a great season for him, but he was still one of my better players. He scored... Oh, God, I've lost this season's stats. But he scored quite a few, set up quite a lot as well. Was sort of always involved in everything that was happening, drifting in off the right-hand side. Statistically, he looks really, really good. There's not many. His only technical stats that are underneath 12 are his tackling, marking and heading. So everything else is pretty, pretty solid.
Anyone else going to jump in?
He was talking about stats. And he was still going for me.
No, I finished.
God, you know how to end a sentence, right?
This is going to be fantastic. But anyway, Harry Chapman's my man in the match. He's recently earned a nickname for his absolute heroics against Dynamo. I believe he got 4 goals. But he's being trained up as the replacement for Carlos Vela when he eventually has to leave. And he's getting trained into the false nine position, even though he's naturally an attacking midfield, right? Honestly, he's justifying being a bench player right now to the point where he might keep Carlos Vela out the starting 11 for a while when he comes back for this injury. He's just banging in the goals and getting quite a few assists. I mean, Carlos Pavon is the only one ahead of him in assists right now. It's just one of those things where you throw someone in to fill a jersey and he, you know, rises to the occasion.
Nice.
I think he's 3.5 stars for me, which is... It's in a position where I've got a lot of talent, though. Striker and the wings are getting a bit overfilled for me right now.
Yeah.
And, David, you got...
My man of the
Viking.
Match. Sorry?
A Viking, sounds like.
Well, he's Estonian, so not quite. But he's Magnus Carrefeld. He's my goalkeeper for my new club, Flora Tallinn, in Estonia. I think he was actually tipped to be a future wonder kid in one of the FMs, but never really amounted to anything. But I can see why he was hotly rated, because he's a superb goalkeeper for me. He kept 15 clean sheets in 32 matches. He's only conceded 25. Obviously, his stats don't really... show off his brilliance, but every time he gets on a one-on-one situation, he really seems to just do a Rui Patricio, really, and just save as many as he can. Yeah, he's a solid player for us. 26 now, so he's still got plenty of potential left in him. And he's my man of the match this week.
It seems like all of us have went for kind of prospects in our save. Because Harry has the potential to be like England's next star. It looks like Zivkovic is going to be a Golden Ball nominee, and Carrefeld is a Estonian regen. It's looking good. I have never heard of him.
He's a real player, by the way.
Is he? I've never heard of an Estonian wonder kid in all of FM.
I think it was on the FM Scout possible wonder kids list. I think it was for either FM 14 or 15. But again, he really never amounted to anything.
Moving on to the safe scout. Mine's isn't terribly exciting. Club dos Portugal, a homegrown challenge is Portugal club, you know. Celebrate the Euro win, with celebrate being heavily in air quotes.
I'd say Boa Vista might be an interesting one. The fallen giant.
They're in the second, aren't they now?
I think they got promoted back into the Premier League in Portugal, didn't they?
Not in the database, so I don't think. I think they're in second in this database.
I'm actually going to check that now. As far as I know, they actually got promoted back to the Premiership. They are... Yeah, they're in the Primeira Liga.
Hmm.
Yeah, so they're back into the Premier League, but they're still not really the European giant they once were.
That was like late 90s they were big, wasn't it?
I can't remember exactly, but they were quite big in Europe. It wasn't even that long ago. I think it was about 15 years ago.
Because I think they were there at the time of like Galatasaray being at the height of their power, kind of deal.
Yeah, sort of like that.
But David, please tell me yours is a Cold War comment.
It's actually an interesting one. Came up with this idea today. It's the superpowers. And the idea behind it is that you only select Russian, American, and Chinese clubs.
Nailed it.
You're only allowed to sign American, Chinese, and Russian players. And the idea behind it is to win the Champions League, the Asian Champions League, and the North American Champions League with one of those teams from those nations. So you're either going to be a communist or a Trump person, go ahead. I might actually try that, save. It does sound interesting.
I'm trying to think any young like players from Russia. I can't. All the good players that are Russian are like 28 at the start of the game.
Don't Zenit spawn quite a few decent regens?
Getting them up from Zenit. Zenit are notoriously hard to buy from, though.
I'd say the most difficult nation to do it in is China, where you only have Chinese players. Because they're never really amounting to anything.
Yeah, it's going to be harder to actually succeed, but easier to fill a squad, though.
Yeah, that's true.
Foreigner rules might also be a problem, so it's something I'm looking into.
I would get Aaron Johansson in that save anyway. I love him. For some reason, he always turns out well for me in this game.
So the majority of American players always seem to have a second nationality of some description.
Yeah, that's because they're American. They're immigrants. But they hate those damn Mexicans stealing their jobs. Anyway, guys.
Right, so carrying on from the whole Portugal thing. First of all, a little bit of history. In 1962, when the Benfica manager, Bela Gutman, left the club. He requested a pay rise. It was turned down. And then when he left, he cursed the club. And said that not in 100 years from now will Benfica ever be European champions. And obviously so far they haven't. Since then they've lost to AC Milan twice, Inter Milan, Manchester United and PSV in the European Cup. And Anderlecht, Chelsea and Benfica in the Europa League. So they've lost in eight
Benfica
finals.
Benfica lost to Benfica in the final?
The Sevilla. Sevilla,
you really knocked him off his floor there.
Yeah, Benfica lost against Sevilla in the Europa League final. Sorry, the article I've got up that's just telling me this says, and now Benfica. So they got it wrong, not me. And Sevilla in Europa League finals. So they've lost eight times in European finals since 1962. So the aim of the save is to take over of Benfica and break the curse. This curse is so well believed that way back when Eusebio was manager, the last final they were in was in Vienna. The last European Cup final was in Vienna, and that's where Gutman is buried. And Eusebio went to his grave and prayed for the curse to be lifted, but they still lost.
I think Dirk mentioned this save one time before.
Yeah, I think Dirk's mentioned it at some point probably. It seems like the sort of thing he would mention.
It's appropriate, though.
I want to say it's on FN Podcast 40-something. I don't know why.
I think it's even more recent than that.
But who's got a good highlight for us, then?
I'll jump straight into that. I was sacked in 60 days.
Yeah, well,
I left Berkirkara in Malta to Porta down because they offer me a job before the end of the season. I took the job only to find out the chairman was retiring, so I had to go through a long takeover process within 2 months, a transfer embargo, didn't sit a single match, and once the new chairman came in, he was from Andorra, sacked me after a week. Not one player I brought in, not one match did I sit. I got sacked in 60 days. I've never had that before.
Well, you got 2 months to collect a paycheck while you take a holiday in Malta, I think it was.
Like £500 a week.
Still money being paid to do nothing.
Yeah. Still £26,000 a year to do nothing.
Yep. Plus, you probably get your lunch made for you at the stadium, so it's a bonus.
Never liked Portadown anyway. They were one of the teams I really hated when I was Killy Lee manager.
Yeah, you hated every team when you were Killy Lee manager because they kept beating you.
Yeah, because you.
No,
were
I
awful.
Remember beating Linfield 6-1 at home, or 6-1 away.
That does not wound me at all.
No,
it was good.
Okay,
it was good when they were a non-league club.
I'll jump in now to save this from turning into a petty argument. My unbeaten run is my current highlight. Without spoiling too much about what's been going on since Aston Villa, I was having a bit of trouble developing a tactic, tweaked it, made it a little bit simpler, sort of simplified it, and now I've gone on it's either 32 or 33 match unbeaten run, stretching. I played one game of my second season after the unbeaten run started, so I'm not really sure how long it was last season. But yeah, 33 matches unbeaten.
33, did you say?
33 matches, yeah.
Well, and I don't want to actually have to look it up, but I know I'm very, very long unbeaten run at this stage. Do you think you can outlast my Celtic squad?
I don't know, because you're in
yep.
Scotland with Celtic, and I'm at the moment in Italy. And in Italy, there's Juventus, Napoli, and other good teams. You're in Scotland, where there's no good teams.
On the flip side of that, the amount of money you've got to throw around.
I used to have. The chairman has now decided he's going to withdraw his financial backing.
Yep.
Do you still have Berlusconi as your chairman?
No, we had an Irishman called Danny O'Rourke.
It's the most Irish name I've ever heard in my life.
Yep, he's a knob.
Fun fact, my screen has just frozen.
Brilliant.
Apparently the laptop's still working though, so I guess I'm going to sit here with a black screen and talk to you guys. On my end, to tie into my weekend review, I've always been losing goals in the first 15 minutes for some reason this week. I lost 3 to Rangers in 15 minutes, put one back before half-time, gave the team a talking to in the second half, in the dressing room, ended up finishing 7-3 to me. So yeah, that was a pretty nice feeling.
Congratulations.
Yeah. It's weird, Rangers go from being like a threat one season to not being a threat the next season. It's strange. I think they spend all their money one season, almost go bust, and then next season really struggle when they have to sell players. It's a vicious cycle. And my screen's back. But what have you got for your weekend review? Okay, David, what have you got for your weekend review?
I told you about Berkirkara. I left them. We had a decent run towards the end of the season. We were on the cusp of winning the league. But we kind of screwed it up in the last 3 matches where we only got 2 points from them. And we ended up finishing 5th. So not even Europe. We managed to finish 5th in the Maltese League. Even with the second period where you have the points halved and rounded, which is a quite interesting but pretty crap rule in fairness. So you could be, 16 points clear and then you're now down to 8 because your points are cut in half. It's a bit ridiculous, but I left them for Portadown down, and I got sacked after 60 days without making a signing or sitting a match, because the new chairman is an absolute C-word. So I went to...
Language, David.
Clown. He's an absolute clown.
Okay. And then we went to Flora Tallinn, where I'm currently based now. I kind of feel that I've been handed the title because, I mean, when I took over the club, they were already 15 points clear, but Lavadia Tallinn are coming back into the frame, and we're still 11 points clear at the top of the league, so we only have 6 games to go to seal the title. It shouldn't be an issue. Got knocked out of the Europa League through a stupid red card after just 2 minutes. But we managed to get an away goal through the match. We were playing Vorskla of Ukraine, and we were almost towards the group stages of the Europa League. Drew 0-0 in the second leg, so we went out 2-1 on aggregate. We're still in the Estonian Cup, so still a potential to do a double. But we'll see how the save pans out, I guess. But yeah, Estonia's good. Some interesting players.
A nice random choice for you, David. Gaz, what you got in the land of pasta?
Oh, okay. So, going quite a way back, after finishing fourth with Villa, the season after that was a bona fide disaster. We finished 17th in the end. So, and then all my players wanted to go, so I just thought, no, sod this, I'm getting out. Resigned, I fancied something new anyway, didn't want to start a new save, so just looked for another job. David Moyes was then appointed manager of Aston Villa, meaning he left Lille, creating a space over in France. So I followed David Moyes to France. That was even worse than the Villa save. I was 20th, dead bottom of the league. Dead bottom of the league on Christmas Day, sacked on Boxing Day, and then went to Galatasaray on the 5th of January, so didn't take me long to go to Galatasaray. Took them from 14th to winning the league and cup double in my first season, won the league again the second season, lost in the final of the cup on penalties. And then David Moyes was sacked by AC Milan. So I followed David Moyes yet again to AC Milan, where in my first season in charge, we beat Napoli to the title. Juventus were literally nowhere to be seen. They had, I think it would be their worst season since they won Serie B. We finished a ludicrous space in front of them. They were right there up until sort of January, when they just completely collapsed. Finished 5th, 25 points off us who won the league. So yeah, we're one game into the next season. I'm hoping, I've spent a lot of money on this squad this summer, so I'm hoping that we can really, really challenge in the Champions League and wrap the league up again.
So how long have they had to gel?
This squad? I've only bought 5 players, and they're all from different positions. So my right back and my centre back, they're new. A central midfielder, an attacking left midfielder, and a striker are all new. But the transfers were done. They were done pretty early. Driller and Introzzi came on the 1st of July, and then Guedes came on the 4th, and Clovis came on the 6th of July. So them 4 came really early. Renato Sanchez came in the middle of August, so he's had 2 weeks, and the other 4 have had 2 months.
Well, we'll continue on, unless anyone else has got anything to add to Gaz's squad building.
No.
Well, going on to manager watching, the first one I suggested is due to one of my coaches leaving, and that's Phil Neville. He's now a manager at Dundee after leaving my back room where he's been for 4 years.
Phil Neville is not on my game. He's obviously retired, I think. Gary Neville is still the Valencia manager, though.
Yeah, Gary Neville is still Valencia manager on mine as well in 2023. But Phil Neville last season won the championship with Nottingham Forest. So they're in the Premier League.
Good on, Phil. Where's the arsehole when you're saves?
Chelsea.
Who are we talking about?
Moyes.
He's unemployed since he got sacked by Milan.
Atletico Madrid, didn't mean.
Before that, can we just take a little look at David Moyes' managerial map?
Go ahead.
So to speak. So obviously Sociedad, so he was Swansea manager for a year, then got sacked, and then was Inter Milan manager for 18 months, got sacked. Lille manager for a year, got sacked. AC Milan manager for 2 years, got sacked. So he was Inter Milan manager and then AC Milan.
That's brave. Very brave.
Moyes has won two Premier Leagues, two Capital One Cups and the Community Shield.
He won Serie A with Milan in his first season.
He's not won the Spanish Cup, that's in the fourth round. He hasn't won a cup for me except at Man United.
And that cup doesn't count.
Yep. I thought he'd won the Spanish Cup, but it's the fourth round. It's just phrased awkwardly. He always seems to come fifth. Anyone got anything good for Bilic?
He's at Marseille.
Still at West Ham.
See, he's... If I remember correctly, he's moved around a lot for me. He's at Napoli now. From 2015, West Ham to Arsenal, where he was Invincibles and won the Champions League in his first season. And then he came third, and then he got sacked the season after. And then he moved to Napoli.
He's been at Marseille since December 2018. So 4 years and 266 days.
Well, and who's our last manager watch this time? My man, Harry Redknapp.
Not on my game.
Retired.
Do-do-do, Harry Redknapp. Retired. God damn it.
Well, that was pointless. I'm trying to look at an interesting one. There's an interesting one I found.
I have an interesting one. He's a certain England international striker, current England international striker, goes by the name of Wayne Rooney. He's had a really bizarre managerial career. So he was Rotherham manager, did nothing for them, was appointed in January, sacked in November. And then he went to Cardiff. Oh no, he went to Cardiff, wasn't sacked. Went to Cardiff and then was there for 6 months. Went to Leicester, sacked by Leicester after 6 months. Went to Fulham, but was sacked after 4 months. And he's now manager of Burton Albion. So his longest job was Rotherham for 10 months.
I have an interesting one. Darren might enjoy this one. Mark Warburton.
Okay.
He resigned as the Rangers manager in 2020. Became the Russia manager.
Okay.
Relegated from the UEFA Nations League. Got sacked and now is the Sweden manager.
What?
It's quite weird, that one, isn't it?
Excuse me, apparently my medicine's
not. And I also saw Roberto Martinez. He was the England manager. Won the Euros in 2020, won the Confederations Cup in 2021, got sacked by England, now the Liverpool manager, and now the former Liverpool manager Rudy Garcia is now the England manager after he was sacked by France in 2020.
Nice. Rio Ferdinand is Bournemouth manager.
Most of the managers in the... Premier League are still the same. Nigel Pearson, though, is charge of Everton.
What year are you in?
2022.
Oh, that's really weird, because the managers from mine have changed quite a lot. like an awful lot. I'm going to see if there's anyone that's still got the same manager.
I got who's Bournemouth manager for you? Did you say
Rio Ferdinand?
I've got Queek Flores.
He's England. He's England manager. On my side.
I'm going to see where Eddie Howe is, actually.
Eddie Howe's at Brentford on my side, in the Premier League.
Eddie Howe is still Bournemouth manager.
English Premier Division is somehow the highest, what do you call it, rated league in the world, despite their teams not doing anything in Europe. Oh, I'm tenth. Yeah, I'm in the top 10. Go Scotland.
Steve McLaren is Liverpool manager.
Guardiola, yeah. United...
Yeah, no, there's literally nobody that's the same, because I started, I started when Van Gaal was still at United, and then Mourinho followed him.
Claymon's at Chelsea.
I actually have an interesting one, a Manchester United manager. Gerardo Martino is the Manchester United manager.
United have won 7 Premier Leagues in a row.
Wow.
It's turned pretty dominant.
I'm trying to find an interesting one.
2019.
They won 2016-17 was their first title, and then they've just won it every single year.
McLaren's still at Newcastle for me.
Yeah, same here.
Ancelotti at Liverpool. A random Stoke manager. I don't know if you're an actual real manager or not. Gareth Wally. David. Who? He's Irish.
Who?
Gareth Wally.
Gareth who?
W-H-A-L-L-E-Y.
Gareth Wally? Are you sure he's not a regen?
That's what I'm saying, I don't know. He's got no face, but he's not got a regen face.
I have no idea who he is.
Ernesto Valverde for Derby County.
Gary Monk's top of the league with Derby County at the moment. Only 3 games in, but still.
Neil Harris for QPR.
Jurgen Klopp has gone back to Dortmund.
He's Bayern manager.
He was the Germany manager, got sacked, and now went back to Borussia Dortmund.
Oh, Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank is managing West Brom. I'll give everybody one more before we move on to the closing discussion.
I'm done.
I think I'm done as well.
Well, in the closing discussion, do you guys think that Man United will go to the top under Mourinho? I think they're going to be second place this season, looking at the squad.
Are we talking about this season?
This season.
Coming season with Mourinho.
Second, I think. Unless we get Pogba and then we can challenge.
I don't think we'll get Pogba, especially not for 100 million.
Stop saying we, you're a Yeovil fan.
Well, that was pretty...
That was pretty random and out the blue.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying Pogba goes to United, that will be a serious depletion of the FFP, so it's not really worth the risk, I think.
Manchester United do not need to worry about financial fair play. We're the only club in the world, other than Real Madrid, the only two clubs in the world that do not have to worry about it. It's fine. Because they were saying that we could pay 150 million last season for Neymar and not even come close to breaching FFP. We make so much money, we'll just get a new, I don't know, noodle sponsor or something, and that'll take away half of it.
Ramen.
Exactly.
I'm imagining Wayne Rooney on a billboard in like Korea or something serving ramen, like with badly dubbed voice.
You laugh, but that's how ridiculous it is. I know.
It probably will happen.
Exactly. So we'll get a new ramen noodle sponsor and a bleach sponsor from, I don't know, Brazil or something, and we'll be fine.
I think Mkhitaryan will be a good addition.
Yep.
Because he's very versatile around the midfield.
I'm glad I don't have to say his name.
It's not hard. Mkhitaryan. Literally simple.
Mkhitaryan, yeah.
I always want to say it like the K is silent for some reason every time I look at it, and then I just get confused. I don't know why. Every time I look at it, I think the K is silent.
Be interesting if Mata does leave to Everton.
Yeah, I think he's gone.
Yeah.
I think Everton have a chance of getting into the championship or Champions League under Koeman.
Oh, I don't know.
Well, I think Mourinho has to find the right balance of the team if we're going to challenge for at least top 3 this season.
He will.
Well, I mean, players like Rashford, you have Lingard coming through the ranks, Fosu Mensah. Whether or not they're going to have futures at United is yet to be seen.
Fosu Mensah will, because you haven't got a right back other than Darmian, and I don't know how much he likes Darmian.
But he's gonna really just get them into the wood chipper and just slash as many players as he can from the team.
No, he won't. Because they're already in the team. What Mourinho allegedly doesn't do is bring players through. These players are already up and they're in the team.
I'm just saying, if Mourinho were here a season earlier, nobody would have heard of Marcus Rashford.
No, they wouldn't. But if Anthony Martial hadn't got injured in that warm-up, no one would have heard of him either. So,
nah, in fairness, Martial is a homegrown name, really. He would have just gone to another French club and
that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, if Martial hadn't got injured in the warm-up against Midtjylland, then no one would have heard of Marcus Rashford because he wouldn't have played. Louis van Gaal didn't play him because he wanted to play him. He played him because he had no other striker. That's why Rashford got the breakthrough. Had one game, took his chances, and then that was it. So,
like other players like Varela, he's left.
He hasn't, not yet.
I think he'll definitely leave, and I think he's an underrated defender. I think he played very well under Van Gaal's philosophy.
Yeah, but then him and Van Gaal fell out.
I didn't hear about that, but I think Varela is a good player. Be bad to see him leave.
It would be, but I mean, I'd rather him leave than someone like Mata. But we'll see.
See, I don't have a horse in this, so it's quite nice listening to you to debate about it.
I'd say you'd need to get Mata for a bit of profit. I'd say 15 million to 20 million from Everton would be a decent signing.
You were talking about profit. That's not profit. That's a £15 million
loss. Well, I'm just saying, let him go on a free after his contract runs out. I don't think so.
Mm.
I'd much prefer money up front.
Just need to... At the moment, we haven't replaced him. Because Mkhitaryan's a wide player, and Mata wasn't... He was played as a wide player, but he wasn't a wide player.
But like I'd say, Rooney's going to fill in that position.
He's talking about playing Rooney as a number 9, as an actual out-and-out striker.
I'd say he'd be better sitting behind Ibrahimovic.
Yeah, I would as well.
Well, on that lovely note, we're just going to leave it here. This has been episode 15 of the Centre Circle podcast. Joining me has been David Nealon and Gareth Townsend.
That's nice to be here again.
Cheers.
I guess.
And you can get... Well, I know you can get David on Twitter at... DNZY official.
Which I rarely use, but you can
official.
Find me...
Official? As if you've added official to your Twitter handle.
I will be official very soon, don't you worry.
No, you won't.
You can get me at Darren_Carrigan, on Skype at Darren.Carrigan, or on email at Darren... No, it's not Darren Carrigan, that's stupid. ScottishWolf@hotmail.co.uk. Gaz, you got anywhere you want to plug?
Yeah, at GarethTownsend9 on Twitter. See you there.
Sure, if confidence. You want any BMP tweets.
I don't tweet BMP, mate.
He's EDL, get it right.
Yeah, come on, tweet
one of the out. One of those radical politician right-wingers.
Well, let's...
He's not. Don't tweet me about all that, you'll just get blocked.
Let's let it go now, and we will see you next week, where I think I'll be there, but it might be a close thing.
Nobody knows!
Mystery. Pocket sand. Boom.